Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. It's Monday, January the 18th, and I am yours truly, Gary Zimak. Great to be with you here on the program. Hope you had a great weekend. Man, I can't believe January the 18th. So Lent starts on, oh great, he's talking about Lent. This here we go, right? But look, Lent starts February 17th, just about a month away. Less than a month, right? Today's January the 18th, Lent's on the 17th. So it's time to get ready. It's time to get, or at least start thinking about the Lenten season. We're going to be talking about it more. And you know my thing, I'm going to be focusing on give up worry for Lent. And look, even if you're not a worrier and you listen to this program, when I talk about giving up worry for Lent, it really is a means to grow closer to the Lord during the Lenten season, to give up control, to let Him take charge of your life, to surrender to Him, to imitate Jesus. Because what Jesus did was Jesus lived the will of the Father. And Jesus said in John chapter 6, I came not to do my own will, I came to do the will of the Father. That's what Lent is all about. Lent is turning away from wanting to do our own will and do God's will. So when you worry, what do? You're saying, God, I don't trust you. Worry's not concern, worry's not fear, worry is worry. And that's why this program that I've been doing for 2 years now, this will be the third year, Give Up Worry for Lent, has been so successful. Because I think people see the value of it. And you know what's amazing? The book that goes along with it, Give Up Worry for Lent, it's my best-selling book ever. And it's the one that really made me decide to get back into full-time ministry. I wrote it thinking God didn't want me in full-time ministry anymore. And the book was so successful that I realized that this is what I need to do. So I hope you'll join me as we give up worry for Lent and let the Lord rule over us. Let Him be in charge of our lives. Things are going to work out better that way. You're going to be more peaceful. And you are going to you're going to see a difference. So let's start thinking about that for Lent. You know, of course, you can still give up your chocolate or something. That when you sacrifice, and we'll talk about it as we get closer to Lent, there's nothing wrong with sacrificing. It's a good thing. It's a form of prayer. When you give up something and use it as prayer, unite it with the suffering. Because when you give up something, you suffer a little bit, and then you unite it with the suffering of Christ. And you can use it. You could give it to Him, and He could take it to the Father and use it for good. But another reason to give things up is we get to control our passions. We learn how to control our passions. If I can forego that extra candy bar, I could also say no to sin when it comes along. Both of those things look pretty attractive. And that's the dangerous thing about sin. It looks good. If sin was ugly, if we really felt sin was ugly, if it wasn't fun, if we didn't think it, we were going to get pleasure out of it, we wouldn't sin. We just think it's going to feel good. And it does momentarily, but then ultimately it doesn't feel good. And it's a very destructive thing to do. So I didn't mean to talk about Lent too much, but we have to start looking toward it. I want to talk about today something that hit me in the first reading. It was from the letter to the Hebrews. I'll read the first reading from today's Daily Mass. It has to do with obedience. And this whole idea of doing the Father's will, of being obedient to the Father, we don't normally think of Jesus doing that because Jesus is divine. He's God. And it seems a little wrong to think of Him as being obedient to His Father. Sounds like a child who's scared of his dad and he wants to be obedient. But that's exactly what Jesus did. And being perfectly human, He gives us, you're going to imitate somebody in life. Jesus should be that person that you pick. We have our role models, we have our idols, whoever they are, sports figures, entertainers, whatever. People that we know who are very holy, I want to imitate this person because he's such a good person. But really, what we should do is compare ourselves to Jesus. And it's difficult to do that because it can get painful. You know, if I typically, you know, here's the way it works. When I want to feel good about myself, I'll compare myself to some lowlife who is maybe a criminal or somebody who's a notorious sinner or somebody who's just nasty. And I'll compare myself to that person. I'll say, well, at least I'm better than them. And I always pick these people. I mean, I'm not pointing fingers, but we all have a tendency to do this, don't we? We pick that other person who makes us feel good about ourselves. But when you compare yourself to Jesus, it's challenging. Then you start to realize, like, wow, I've got a lot of work to do. But that's really what we should do. It's something I need to work more on. That's why it's important to read the Gospels and to understand a little bit about Jesus and his life, what he said, what he did, so that we can have that comparison. So I can say, well, here's how Jesus reacted when he was persecuted. Here's how Jesus reacted when he ran into a prostitute and, you know, he didn't cast the person aside or judge them. He worked with that person. He helped them, you know. He didn't judge anybody. But at the same time, he condemned sin without judging the person. This is really how I want to live my life. So comparing myself to Jesus is a good thing. And when I do that, I've got to look at everything he did. And when Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father, and in this reading we're going to look at today, the letter to the Hebrews tells us that Jesus was obedient to the Father. And he learned obedience through suffering. I mean, you know, the idea of Jesus learning something is kind of problematic, isn't it? It's like, well, no, he can't learn things. What's up with that? That's going to mess everything up. Well, you have to understand, Jesus, when he became human, he lowered himself and he took on a human body. And there are some things that he allowed himself to learn. Certain knowledge. For instance, he was a carpenter before he went into his public ministry. He had to learn that trade from St. Joseph, his father, his foster father. But that's something he allowed himself to do. He assumed the form of a slave, as St. Paul said in his letter to the Philippians. You know, it's kind of like me saying, I want to know how a blind man perceives life, how it's like to be blind, and I close my eyes or put a blindfold on. I can do that. You know, I am able to see, but I can change that. And let's look at it that way with Jesus. He didn't have to feel hunger. He didn't have to be thirsty. He didn't have to learn things. But he allowed that to happen when he took on a human body so that we could relate to him. And we know that he's been through what we go through. So we'll talk about that idea of obedience today on the program. And look, don't let it upset you. It's important. It's good. I mean, this is all good news. I don't do bad news on this show. It's all good news. I hope you had a good weekend. Hope you got yourself a snack and a beverage. I have a nice mug of cold water. I'm going to take a sip right now. And you know the deal on this program. In case you're a first-time listener, welcome. I got some nice emails over the weekend, by the way. Thank you for letting me know that you enjoy the podcast. It's always rewarding when I get an email. When somebody tells me, I like what you're doing, you help me, you encourage me, you give me hope, boy, that makes me feel good. Because that's exactly what I'm trying to do. This good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, it's good news. And it should fill us with hope. But sometimes we can look at it in a way where we can get a little negative about it. And almost confine Jesus to a historical figure, which he was. He did live 2,000 years ago in Nazareth, and he did travel throughout Palestine, healing people, preaching the good news. He died on the cross. I mean, these are historical facts. That's true about Jesus, but at the same time, he lives today as well. And you can have a relationship with him. And sometimes if we're not careful, it's like we're reading a Bible history book or something, or we're just trying to learn about what he did as if he was Abraham Lincoln or something. He is, But I can't have a personal relationship with Abraham Lincoln right now, but I can't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And he wants to help you with your life, with the struggles that you're going through. He wants to give you relief. And that's what I consider my goal, my focus on this program. I want to help make that happen, and I want to give you hope. So thank you for your emails, and I appreciate the prayers. I appreciate the kind words. I appreciate the donations. And I hope we can continue to walk together and get to know Jesus better, you know, heading right into the Lenten season and then right onward from that. I intend to be here for as long as I can hold out financially, and as long as the good Lord has me here on this earth and I'm able to use my voice to broadcast this program, I intend to be here as long as that happens. So if you'll continue to join me, we can get through this together, okay? Right? It's we're only here on this earth for a short while. Let's try to make sure we can meet up in heaven one day. And let's just keep focused so that happens, all right? All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We recognize that you are present with us right now. We recognize that you hear my words. We recognize that you care about us, Father. We recognize that you are all-powerful. We recognize that there is nothing you can't do. There is no problem that you cannot solve. We recognize, Father, that you love us. We acknowledge that since we are still alive at this moment in time, that you are continuing to provide for all of our needs. Father, we lift up our intentions. We place our family members, our friends in your hands. We ask you to bless them, to bless us, to give us what we need, both spiritually and materially. And Father, I ask you to send your Spirit upon me so that I know the words, the message that I'm supposed to deliver on this program. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to your words and be willing to put them into practice. Father, I ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you praying with me. I love when we can. I mean, how cool is that? You and me, we get to pray together on the show. And we're not even in the same location geographically. No matter where we are physically, I'm in New Jersey and you're wherever you are, and we can pray together on this program. And we know that our Father in heaven hears us. So it's an incredible privilege for me. I'm so grateful that we're able to do that. And I'm grateful that you're able to join me on this program and that we can meet, hang out at the table, and talk about the Lord. You know. And by the way, if you have any questions or you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. If you have not yet signed up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, you can do that at followingthetruth.com. Cost you nothing, totally free of charge. You can unsubscribe at any time. And when you do sign up, you get an email from me once each day. Don't send any more than once. I don't send any more than one email, I should say. I don't share your email address. And you can unsubscribe at any time, and it costs you nothing. So in my opinion, that's a good deal, and I'm getting a lot of good comments about it. If you haven't signed up for it yet, please give it a try. See what you think, and maybe forward it to a friend if it would help, or if you think of something that would help your friends, and ask them to subscribe too. That's another way that I'm able to stay in touch with you. But followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Okay, so I mentioned at the start of the program, we're going to talk about obedience today. Kind of a dirty word. There's something about that word that just bugs many people. I'm not going to say I'm particularly fond of it either. I kind of remember back in grade school hearing that word obedience, and it sounded like something you were commanded to do. I need to be obedient. Like I don't have a mind of my own. I just have to listen to what somebody else tells me. Which, by the way, I was always really obedient in school. I was a good kid. I stayed completely out of trouble. I was scared of my own shadow in grade school and high school. So I really stayed out of trouble for the most part. But obedience in the sense of the obedience we should have to God our Father, the obedience that Jesus had to him, it's rooted in love. And it's not like we're afraid. It's not like we're prisoners. And if we do something wrong, he's going to punish us. Our Father in heaven loves us. He loves us with an unconditional love. We don't add anything to his greatness. So he didn't have to create us. He created us because he loves us. And he wanted to share his joy with us. That's why our Father created us. And not just in this world, but in heaven, which lasts forever. That's why each one of us was created. And that's pretty amazing. Again, he didn't have to create us. And if you think about that for a minute, God is all-powerful. God needs nothing to make him happy. That's why he's God. But yet he created you and me for a reason. And that reason is he wants to share his happiness with us. And again, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Obedience is a response to God's love. And when we obey God, we're telling him how much we love him. Love's not a feeling. We've talked about this before. Love is not a feeling. Love is a conscious decision. Love is an action. I can love someone even if I don't like them very much. You know, it's a decision. I can love someone by doing things for them to help them, even if I don't feel like it. And that's what true love is. The world tells us a different message, but true love is what Jesus did when he went to the cross. He didn't do that because it felt good. He did that because he loved us and wanted to open the gates of heaven for us. So that's what love is. So when I'm obedient to God, right? When I'm obedient to God, it's because, or it should be, because I love him. When Jesus obeyed his Father, it's because he loves him. So obedience is a good thing, even though our society looks at it as a bad thing. As a, you know, you're oppressed if you're held back, if you're obedient, you're under somebody else's control. That's not true obedience. So with that in mind, let's look at this this reading. This is from the letter to the Hebrews. It's the first reading from today's daily mass. It's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. I'll read the whole thing, but a lot of it doesn't really pertain to what we're going to talk about. I'm just going to key on one specific point of it. Brothers and sisters, every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. So in the time of our Lord, a high priest is someone who would offer sacrifice to God. He is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and the erring, for he himself is beset by weakness, and so for this reason must make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said to him, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you," just as he says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." So there's some Old Testament references to Jesus. You know, these are forward references to pointing ahead to Jesus. There's a lot of foreshadowing or prophecy about Jesus in the Old Testament too. And, you know, the entire Bible is about Jesus. The Old Testament looks forward to the coming of the Messiah. The New Testament details the life and what happened after the resurrection of Jesus. So Jesus is contained throughout the message of Jesus, who he is, what he did, his function. It's contained throughout the entire Bible. But Jesus was chosen. He was sent into the world by his Father to act as our high priest, the ultimate high priest. A priest offers sacrifice back in the days of in the Old Testament days, and prior to Jesus arriving on the scene, a priest would offer sacrifice to God. And when we go to if you're Catholic, and I realize not everybody who listens to the program is Catholic, but as when Catholics go to Mass, we unite with Jesus. We're literally, I mean, it's a pretty complicated, powerful concept, but we are transported to Calvary when Jesus offered himself as high priest to the Father to atone for our sins. And because we're part of the body of Christ, we are in Jesus. We're invited to, along with him, sacrifice ourselves to the Father. But he makes it the perfect sacrifice. We're kind of like attached to him. So because of that, we're incorporated into his body. And Mass is all about making a sacrifice to the Father. It makes the one and only sacrifice. When Jesus sacrificed to the Father, he only had to do it one time. But it makes that sacrifice present. I know it's kind of a strange concept, but that's the cool thing. Every time you go to Mass, Calvary is made present, and Jesus, you are participating in that one sacrifice. He only did it one time. We participate. We don't just watch it. We participate in that sacrifice in the body of Christ. Okay, so in the days when he was in the flesh, he offered prayers, and we're talking here about the crucifixion of Jesus. In the days when he was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. Now, this is that sacrifice of Jesus to the Father, and he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And there's that concept that I wanted to share with you. We don't typically think of Jesus as being obedient to the Father. But you got to remember, Jesus, when he took on a human body, he allowed himself to be stripped of some of the luxuries, if you want to call them that, of living in heaven. And he suffered. He was able to suffer some of the things that we suffer from, hunger and thirst and pain. You know, and he could feel sad. And he allowed himself to take on these human qualities. And this letter to the Hebrews tells us that he learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. This is why I believe this message is so important for us. If Jesus could learn obedience from suffering, by undergoing the suffering that he went through, because that was the Father's will. I know, you look at it and you say, wow, that's crazy. That's the Father's will for him to die on the cross? But it was. He wanted that to happen. And even though it was painful, Jesus loved his Father and us so much that he went through with it. You know, he could have stopped it. He could have come down from that cross. He could have zapped all of his persecutors if he wanted to. But he didn't, because it was necessary. And when we do the will of the Father, it's not always fun. A lot of times it's not fun. A lot of times sin temporarily is more fun. It just is. That's the dangerous thing about sin. It looks really good at the time. You know, have you ever been there where you think, I don't want to do the right thing? That's going to be painful. But the wrong thing, that's going to be fun or easier. It's a lot easier to tell a lie than to tell the truth sometimes, isn't it? My wife and I were having that conversation a few days ago. Sometimes it's just so much easier to tell a lie. You know, and we get lazy. Or we'll say we're stretching the truth. Or tell a little white lie. But a lie is a lie. But there are times when you think, like, oh man, if I tell the truth, I'm going to really get in trouble. Or somebody's going to think badly about me. But it's always the right thing to do. That's the Father's will. And see, when Jesus took on a human body, he came to show us what it means to be human. I should be imitating Jesus. If I'm looking for somebody to imitate, I should be imitating Jesus. And what did he do? He was obedient to the Father. He did the Father's will. And that's what he's calling you and me to do. How do we learn obedience? Through suffering. And suffering could be anything from being in traffic to cancer. We suffer in a lot of ways. Weather. I suffer when it's cold out. You know? We could suffer in any number of different ways. At the beginning of the day, my wife and I say our prayers and we say, Father, we surrender to your will this day. And as proof of that, we will do our best to not complain about anything that happens. That's tough. We fail all the time. Because if we're really willing and sincere about doing the Father's will, and the Father's all-powerful, then we can be sure that anything that happens to us is either explicitly the will of the Father, or he is allowing it to happen to bring a greater good out of it. So anything that happens to you, God signed off on. Do you complain about the weather? About somebody saying something to you? About something that didn't go your way? About traffic? Do you complain about, you know, the food you have to eat? You complain about any number of different things. If so, and look, this is painful, but I'm pointing a finger at myself here too. When we complain, we didn't really mean those words, thy will be done. So when we learn to endure suffering, whatever it is, again, traffic, it's not a big thing, but it's annoying. And if we learn to accept it, that's teaching us obedience. You don't learn obedience through things that are pleasant. You don't, because they're easy, right? It's easy to go along with those. Anyway, that's the message today, and Jesus teaches us that. So just kind of think about that as we head into the Lenten season. Start thinking about that obedience, doing the Father's will. And you know the best thing about it? It's going to bring you so much more peace. It's going to bring you the peace that you are looking for. You got to try it to believe it, though. All right? Hey, if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you'd like to make a donation, I could really use it right now to keep my ministry up and running. If you could become a monthly sponsor, that would be very much appreciated. Now, in order to do that, just go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you can take it from there. You can donate securely. I plan to be back here tomorrow. I hope you'll join me as well. Have a fantastic night. God bless you. Talk to you next time.